Beautiful people, how you doing? Tonight the world is ours. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. And today, we've just stepped into October with a plan and purpose. So this is a month that holds so much meaning because right here in the UK, it is Black History Month. And for me, as a black woman, this means spotlighting the hidden stories, the overlooked pioneers, and the urgent truths about black women's health. We don't talk enough about the women who shaped our health landscape, women whose names have been erased from history or minimized. And we don't talk enough about how black women today are still disproportionately affected by health challenges, from fibroids to strokes, from maternal mortality or misdiagnosed pain. So I am going to dedicate this show to black women's health, but also remembering that black women's health is still a part of global women's health. And I'm going to have that open conversation. Kind of conversations I have at Unfiltered, right, in Soho, because if we don't name it, we can't change it. And it's really important for me as a black woman with nieces who are mixed and are black in them and are seen by the world as black, to actually understand that there's more to us than what we are taught, what the schools, especially over here in the UK, do not teach. But a community without a history, it's a community that doesn't really know what they stand for. Imagine, right? There was gynecological surgeries that were done on black women without their consent. They were used as guinea pigs to advance gynecological technologies for women. But the black women were the ones that were used, sometimes without injections or anesthetics, just used. And Henrietta Lacks, whose cells, HeLa cells, were taken without consent, they led to major medical breakthroughs. So our pain was turned into purpose. But we weren't used in a way that was to benefit us. It was to benefit the wider community. And of course, we have an opportunity to be a part of that community. But we were never used in a way that actually we were being used to benefit, to profit us or to edify us in any which way. So we also have Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler. She was the first black woman physician in the US who wrote one of the earliest medical texts by a woman of colour. These are informations that we don't have. We don't know this information. We're not given this information. You know what I mean? And this is really important for us because as a woman of colour, you know, why am I not being given this information? You know, where is the information? Why is it being hidden from me? Why don't I have this information to hand so that I can share it with my nieces? And help them to understand that, I mean, we shape so many things. There's so many things that were created by women and men of colour that they never got the credit for. And this is what we need to be able to address and say, well, look, hold on a second. If it advances everybody, that's great, but give the credit to the right person. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you create something, you don't want somebody else to be given credit for it, yeah? So that's what I'm saying. That's what we need to know. Anyway, let's not get stuck on that. We are moving into October, which means we're moving into the last quarter of 2025. We're officially in autumn. We're a month into autumn, two more months to go. And then literally by December, we move into winter. So we're in that season of change. And because over here, especially, and because of the climate change across the world and having these extreme summers, it means when you fall into autumn, we call it autumn, or you call it fall, the colors on the leaves are going to be absolutely, absolutely fantastic, you know? And this is what we have to be able to enjoy. And I remember years ago that I listened to Vanessa Feltz once on BBC Radio London, and it was really interesting because they were talking about blindness, and there was about colour blindness, and there was about mixed race relationships and not seeing colour. And this guy made a really, really, really good point. He said that he had sight and he lost it. And one of the things he loved the most was the way in which the leaves on the trees turned to these beautiful shades of oranges and browns and reds and, you know, just the change in autumn and something as simple as that. And a lot of the times there's beauty all around us and we just don't see it because we just close our eyes to it. So my argument has always been that it's not that you don't see colour, because if you don't, there's a problem. You see colour, but colour is not the basis on which you judge things by or people by. So you don't allow the colour to be a barrier to community or to acceptance or to relationship. That's the difference. There is beauty in it. My brother is married to an Irish lady, and the beautiful thing is she's this milky white with brown hair and blue eyes. You don't normally have brown hair and blue eyes. Compared to my brother, who's lovely, dark and lovely, and there's a contrast between the whiteness of her skin and the darkness of my brother's skin. There's beauty in both of them, right? So you don't see colour. And this is why I think it's really important for us to be able to celebrate Black history, because it's not that we're trying to take anything from anybody, but it's time for the things that we create, the things that we invent, the things that we come up with that benefits the whole world, that, you know, the stamp of approval is given to the skin colour for which it was done. We don't keep taking from others and pretend it's ours and then dismiss like that person had nothing to do with it. We have to move past that. So, as I said, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler, she was the first woman physician in the United States who published her medical text in 1883, right? And the full title was A Book of Medical Discourses in Two Parts. So she wrote a book of medical discourses in two parts, and it was based on her years of practice and was written mainly for women and children, offering guidance on pregnancy, child health and family medicine. Can you imagine? So I've got to find this book. Can you imagine a publication written in 1883 that was offering guidance on pregnancy? And we can't see it. Child health and medicine. And I mean, this is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Because when you speak in the NHS, when I shared my poster presentation at the Royal College of Midwives conference in 2013, that was 12 years ago, in Salford. Back then I was told that midwives only had 10 minutes of online information on the pelvic floor. Like, my bottom lip hit the floor and I was like, what are you talking about? How can the floor, the platform, the trap door, the foundation of the trunk, the provider of stability, vitality, and the gateway that links the inner and outer world, and the gateway that has to open and bring life into the world, how can that gateway be so misunderstood and be so sorely, poorly thought about? This is why women struggle with so much trauma. in childbirth, as I said, between 2000 and 2010, when the NHS were, the negligence budget for the NHS, whilst it was only 20% of the claimants, less than 5,500 women, who claimed against the NHS for perineal trauma in childbirth between 2000 and 2010, they made up 20% of the total negligence claims against the NHS, yet they made up 49% of the payout. 20% of the claims overall, but 49% of the payout. And that is massive, right? But she had some great quotes that we just don't understand. So she said, it is absolutely necessary that the medical profession should be furnished with the means of preventing disease as well as curing it. And today, where we are now, in 2025, the medical profession are still focused on the cure or the maintenance of disease, but they are not furnished enough. They're trying now to move into longevity medicine. And what she's trying to tell women is that if she was emphasizing the preventative power of women's choices in health, which directly linked to our emotional well-being, our pelvic health as prevention. But today, that is seen as holistic healthcare with anecdotal evidence. It's not backed by science, so therefore it can't be something that you're looking at. And that's crazy, because that's really important for women to have the prevention and to have the knowledge. You need the knowledge. You need to understand why you need the knowledge. And this is why when I do my events like Unfiltered, when I share, I can't wait to share at Goldsmiths for women of colour on women's health, black women's health in Black History Month. If you do not understand the emotional hormonal relationship between health, dysfunction, dis-ease, then you will always struggle. Because we've always been taught to not look at the disease or dysfunction, but to look at the person that's acquired it. And when you're looking at that person, you're definitely going to be looking at their emotional, hormonal history, because it underpins absolutely everything. But on children's health, she wrote, it is the duty of every mother to study the constitution and habits of her children and to aid nature in its work. She urged mothers to be the first line of observation, which echoes my point on women understanding self-awareness. Because you have to understand yourself first, and obviously the child you bring into the body, the cycle, the emotions, the body, because it's the root of generational health. We are the nurturers, we are the caregivers, we're the ones that nurture, feed, guide. We're the overall ones. I'm not knocking fathers out, because of course they play a major role. But we carry, so therefore it's really important for us to understand the responsibility of pregnancy emotionally, hormonally, nutritionally, movement-wise, circadian rhythms, the whole lot, to understand that all of that impacts the pregnancy, not just the food you put in your mouth, the emotional food that you store, the way in which you move, your posture, your performance, everything makes a big difference. But on women as caretakers of communities, she wrote primarily for women, teaching them how to manage illnesses at home, especially for infants and children. And this is a really important thing, because this actually for us, you know, our ancestors, our parents back in Africa used the herbs that were grown. God said in the Bible that he gave us everything pertaining to life and liberty. And so everything, he provided us with all the herbs, everything that we need to heal, to remain whole, and to remain well. But we've changed it, and we've started to create things in factories, in places, and make our own stuff. And we're not understanding why these things are making us sick. So we have to understand that, you know, we are healers. We were the healers, the original healers and health anchors. And a lot of pharmaceuticals have gone to the bush to find out how we're using things, taking them back, mix them with chemicals, then paid the governments to tell the women in the bush, but they're not allowed to use what they were using. So it's like it's being stolen from us. We've got to stop stealing things from people. And despite being denied recognition in mainstream medicine, those herbal remedies continue to flummox the medical profession because they work. But they work in conjunction with understanding how to balance emotional and hormonal harmony. That's how they work. So I think what she did, she wrote from her own story that she wrote this book after decades of being dismissed and disrespected in her medical practice because she was a black woman. So her work itself is a testimony on how if you continue to push through systemic bias, it will help you to be able to get where you need to be. Because if you can do something that works for yourself, and I have over 30 years of continued testimonial success from my clients, and it's not based on scientific evidence. So if I have over 30 years of experience and testimonial successes from my clients, then something's working. So it's not that it's anecdotal and it can't be measured against what? What can it not be measured against? Can be measured against many things. You can measure cost in many ways. But if I can get someone to recognize that, you know, God said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed for signs and wonders. Sometimes you have to wonder that the pain is a sign. Eruptions on the skin are signs that the inner world is not happy. We get signs, but we need to wonder, what can I do? Where should I turn? But the body's always talking to you and giving you stories. And once you start to recognize those stories, you can make a big difference on what you do and how you show up. So you've got to think, it's like how she said it best, really, in 1883 is this. She said, it is absolutely necessary that the medical profession should be furnished with the means of preventing disease as well as curing it. And isn't that the very thing that's missing in our approach to black women's health today? Prevention through awareness, through pelvic secrets, through listening to the body, not just waiting until sickness has taken hold. That's literally what the basis of my pelvic secrets are. And I will be honest to say that I hadn't heard of this woman until I did some research for my show to find out, you know, what women in health I could highlight for Black History Month. That's what was really important to me. And, you know, I love the statement that she made that it's every mother's duty to study the constitution and the habits of her children. Because that's generational health that I think, you know, for us as a woman, and I had this conversation earlier with a girlfriend of mine, when it comes to us in terms of being in relationships without making plans, and, you know, the plan for the evening for many women is to go and have great sex. But we are receivers and men are givers of this seed. We have the ability to take that seed and turn it into life. So if we don't understand our bodies, we don't understand our cycles, we don't understand our emotions, then it's very hard for us to be able to pass on wisdom, to be able to overcome the trauma we've experienced, and to be able to, you know, plan our life accordingly and not have to plan it around things that we didn't plan for because we don't understand our inner world. And I've always had this confidence when I wrote my program back in 2011 after the riots here in the UK that I said that, you know, we're equal but not the same. We can't have the same responsibilities as men, or they don't have the same responsibilities as us for their bodies. You cannot have a man and woman together knocking boots, doing whatever, drinking, smoking, taking drugs, all of this stuff, and the lady finds herself pregnant and continues to do the same thing. If the guy continues to do it, it's going to affect his seed. But it's not going to affect the incubation and growing of that child. But if you continue to do it as a female, then the whole health and vitality of that child, mental, emotional development, the whole lot, neural development, you will completely impact. So we can't be like men, and we shouldn't want to be like men. We should recognize and embrace the beauty of being equal but not the same. And so therefore, you know, we know that we have to make different choices. You know, a man that's married a woman that's married and says, and they plan for families and they plan for children, will say, I've got great news, we're having a baby. But if we don't plan that way, the conversation goes from we to I and it changes completely. Now I've gone completely left, whatever that, in Black history. But, you know, if you look at some of the households, disproportionately, there are a higher number of single parent families within the Black community. And I'm not saying that they didn't plan all these things. There are many, many different factors for why they find themselves in this position. But I am one of those women that was a single parent and I didn't plan for this. But when we learn about our bodies, a lot of time we learn about it in hindsight. So we may find ourselves in a position where, you know, we are having children without actually making that planning and preparation. And I give God thanks because God makes nothing by mistake. Nothing by mistake. And it was the making of my life, having my beautiful son. So we have them in different ways. But what I'm saying in terms of health and vitality and health and happiness that I didn't know was I used to, between 16 and 19, I had 3 periods a year. I thought it was fantastic. Because I wasn't really having to worry about bleeding. But the issue was, my body wasn't doing its natural thing to shed. So I had some massive hormonal imbalances. But I didn't know that. Nobody told me these things. I didn't go to seek the information and nobody told me anything was wrong. It also meant that if I only had 3 periods a year, I never knew when they were going to come. So how am I going to know when I'm at the height of ovulation and when I'm not? That's a lack of self-awareness. Puts me in a position that makes me more vulnerable. That's the point I'm trying to make. And it's really important for us to understand that. We put ourselves in vulnerable positions without realizing the consequence of those actions. Some women are able to deal with those consequences really well and realize they can turn their test into a testimony of their pain into purpose. Other women, it actually takes them in a completely different direction and doesn't help. So we've got to really be able to, as women, master the knowledge around our health so that we can really be women of change and change agents that allows us to be able to encourage our children, male and female, about body awareness, about body vitality, and how to optimize our well-being. Because we have got more and more technology than ever before, but yet still we've got sicker and sicker. And our life expectancy, where we were, November, just over a month from now, sassy, sexy, 63. Very excited. But what's happening is, our parents are outliving us. Something's gone wrong. The amount of funerals we're going to, and we're being invited to, that's like the standard. And you understand at this age, you're going to get more funeral invitations than you are, wedding and party invitations. But it should be that you're getting 60th birthday party invitations, 65th, 70th birthday party invitations. You should still maybe have your children, your grandchildren. They've got weddings. That's what you should have. And then sadly, you're losing your parents. So your parents have had a good innings and you're going to bury your parents. But no, the parents are outliving the children. So something's gone wrong. Technology has gone up, advancements in medicines have gone up, charities ask for money like it's going out of fashion, and yet still, people are dying younger. So mathematically, these equations are not working, but people still not asking questions. Let's play a track.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You know, that record is actually called Keep Holding On. And even as an instrumental, I just love that beat. So it's just really about us being able to hold on regardless. But so October is not just Black History Month, but it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, as I mentioned in last week's show, It was part of the breast cancer festival that we spoke at Hello Beautiful in Holborn, and that was absolutely wonderful. But it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's Menopause Awareness, and it's also Mental Health Awareness. So all of these actually intersect for black women in profound ways. They intersect for women, but they statistically, they intersect for black women in profound ways. And these statistics that show up tell us that black women in the UK are more likely to be diagnosed with late stage breast cancer. So it's like we leave it, and it's like you go into freeze. I've had some issues that I've been dealing with recently, and I actually recognise, I didn't think I did, but now I realise I actually went into freeze. And when we go into freeze, it's like burying your head in the sand like an ostrich and still trying to walk forwards. But we, more times, black women report more severe menopause symptoms, but receive less support for understanding. We also go to look about issues we may have with leaks in the breast or lumps and whatever else at a much later stage. You know, my older sister went to the doctors recently and hadn't been to the doctors for 15 years. Now, she's had different kind of niggles and challenges, but for 15 years, she hasn't gone to check anything out. And so this is what it's probably talking about, some of these things here. But couple that with climbing the corporate ladder, the microaggressions that we feel that we have to fight against, the elevated levels of stress, the financial stresses, all of these things drive hormonal imbalances that affect fertility. And when you're driving hormonal imbalances, one of the things that's really important to understand is progesterone actually helps to regulate the amount of estrogen that's in the body. An overgrowth of estrogen in the body will have an abnormal impact on breast tissue. And that proliferation of the estrogen is also linked to breast cancers. So you have to understand what estrogen does. You have to understand what progesterone does, what DHEA does, what testosterone does, melatonin. You have to understand your hormones. Because by understanding your hormones, you can actually see the role the hormones play in the function or dysfunction of organs, of tissue, and of health and vitality. This is why it's really, really important. And I understand that we may have all of these challenges, but how are these challenges showing up? Because it's like chemistry, it's physical. So even if you can recall a memory that brings you joy and happiness, it's the energy emotion, the emotion that you attach to the experience that allows you to close your eyes and smile and go, oh my God, I had so much fun. Excuse me, or each time you recall that memory, it's like the body doesn't realise it's a memory you're recalling. It just believes it's a lived experience being lived again and again. So it doesn't recognise it as a memory, it recognises it as an experience. Because, okay, I'll give you an example. We had a tennis Grand Slam tournament thing in David Lloyd's last weekend. And then they gave us a drink and they gave us some food and nibbles and we were sitting down, we're laughing and joking. And somebody said something about my serve and having this spin in my serve. And I was being cocky and said, have I got a spin in my serve? And one of my girlfriends, black lady, said, that's all you've got in your serve. And the other lady just could not stop laughing. But needless to say, I spoke to her later on in the evening and she said when she got home, she remembered that statement, and every time she remembered it, she just burst into laughter. So her body's having the same experience time and time again. But her body's having an experience of something that's already happened and passed. But because she responds the same way, that's it. Well, she's releasing oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins that bring about laughter and happiness and joy. So the body stores the joy. Now, just switch it around the other way. And turn that into a negative experience that provokes the emotion of anger and frustration or fear. And all of a sudden, the body stores the fear. It stores the anger. So it will store the emotion of joy or the emotion of anger. Whichever one that it is, it's going to store it. It's like chemistry. So your body is storing it. You know, it's not just a straightforward memory or an event. It's a chemical reaction that's happening within your body. And that's what we have to understand. and when we're just being pushing through, when we're being told to get on with it, when we're doing bad all by myself, I can do bad all by myself, you know, and we're playing all this record, oh, the women, you're independent, single women, and, you know, what are we sending out into the ether? What are we doing to ourselves? These are the things we have to recognize and we have to remember, right? And this is why I focus on the pelvis, because it's the anchor and foundation of everything. You've got your upstairs, downstairs. We've done this already. Breast health and pelvic health. They are intrinsically linked. Intrinsically linked. Because right below the breast is a diaphragm. And right on the base of the pelvis is the pelvic diaphragm. There's two diaphragms. When one moves, the other should move. They are meant to be synchronized. And right in between those diaphragms is all your internal organs. All the life force of the body. That detoxes, that digests, it detoxes, it assimilates, it eliminates. It's all sitting in between. It procreates, it does everything. So you have to understand how important that is. And if these diaphragms don't work well, then the abdominals can't work well, the pelvic diaphragm can't work well, and you've got a host of problems. But if you're in a stress state, if you're guarding and guiding, you're rounding the shoulders and bringing the body forwards. You're not opening yourself up to receive. You're closing yourself down to guard. But whilst you're closing yourself in, you're actually closing the diaphragm in and stopping it from doing its natural movement of pumping. And it's the biggest biological pump in your body that just can't pump properly. If it can't pump properly, the abdominal wall can't work properly and neither can the pelvic floor. And statistics show that we struggle a lot with pelvic floor related issues or reproductive health with fibroids. So we have to look at what is the implications and where is it coming from. So we need to look at the person that's acquired the disease and then be able to do that. But I hope that makes sense. But if you want to ask me any questions, if you want to find out a bit more about how you can improve your pelvic health and more of my pelvic secrets, you have the opportunity, first and foremost, to get your copy of Pelvic Floor Secrets. And you can go on to www.jennyrussell.com. That is JennyRussell. So you can go on to JennyRussell.com, go into programs and products, or go to the bottom of the page, and you'll see the book there. If you want to email me, you can send me an email at info@pelvicfloorsecrets. So you can email me info@pelvicfloorsecrets.com. And I'll answer any concern you have. But I am looking forward to what's coming up for me. I'm looking forward to being able to share at Goldsmiths College in October, this month of October. I'm looking forward to sharing on the 11th. So I'm away in Portugal for a few days. I get a bit of sunshine, get myself together and prepared and come back and then go and share on our health. And I'm going to be diving into the realities of Black women's health, but not just statistically, but I want to look into the stories that lay behind them. And it's really important, like I said, one of the stories that really hurts my heart is the story that, you know, knowing that in the UK, Black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth than white women. And there has to be reasons behind that. They're more likely to experience fibroids, which leads to higher rates of hysterectomy at younger ages. That's a massive plight and plague on Black women's health. And we have to understand that. And I used to do a presentation years ago in East London, an evening with Jenny Russell. And one of my presentations was the hidden sugars that feed fibroids. And we need to be able to understand that, because that's just two stats there right away that women can resonate with. But once you're able to show them the emotional hormonal link between the two, then actually it allows you, when you have this information, it allows you to decide what you want to do with it. But at least you can make informed choices. You can ask informed questions of your medical professionals and you can move forwards. Because these numbers they're not just data points, these numbers. They're people's lives, they're their families, they're the generations that were there before, the generations that are coming after. That's the impact they have. And that's one of the reasons why I created Pelvic Secrets, because when I was teaching at the Harbour Club and I had a lady in the class who sent me an email after and told me about her experience in labour and the consequence of a uterine prolapse based on how that labour was handled. I said to her, I will help her to manage her health. Not one-to-one, but inside a group setting. I just made sure I included certain movements and exercise and education information that could help her to make a change. Now, she had been with her physiotherapist for 8 months and all her pelvic readings had literally remained the same. They just flatlined. Nothing had changed. But within 6 weeks, by focusing on the breath and the posture and the movement abilities, her readings went from 15 to like 23. So she almost doubled her readings. And she was signed off. And I've shared this story before. Then I was invited to her house in Putney, where her husband stood behind her. He kissed her on the back of her head and said to her, "Thank you for giving me my wife back." So that was a massive thing for me. And that's the reason why I wrote the book Pelvic Floor Secrets. Because I realised that there's information, just even basic information, that women don't understand. And whilst we've still moved on and there's still more things that we can share, the basic information about your pelvis and your pelvis, how it works and your pelvic health, that doesn't change. The approach or the information that I know that's missing in Pelvic Floor Secret that needs to be added, I can take that book from 225 to 500 pages very easily. Is to actually add the emotional, hormonal, circadian rhythm element to really dive deep. And that's where She Comes First comes in. That's where we look at our 13 letters and we look at, you know, we look at 13 letters, but actually it's 15 components and we look at that, yeah? And it's 15 components. And we then break each one down into its unique individual part. And it's like spokes on a bicycle wheel. It's like a health wheel. But it helps you to be able to highlight what areas in your health and vitality are you paying attention to and what areas are you not paying attention to. Because 13, even in terms of cycles, in terms of the lunar cycle, it's like there's 13 months in the year. That's you know, that's the ancient wisdom. And in some traditions, 13 is also seen as a representation of rebirth or change, feminine power and initiation. So it's perfect that She Comes First is 13 letters. Because this 60-day journey allows you to literally be able to change, to rebirth, to really embrace your feminine power and understand the implications for it. And be able to have an initiation on where you are. So, whilst the West may say it's unlucky, in many other cultures, it's seen as a sacred time cycles. And so we look at it from the perspective of sacred time cycles. But what's really interesting is in that first letter, She, because we are She, self, hormones, emotions. We break the self into three categories, which is self-love, self-care, and self-awareness. And I like numbers. I like to do things because in numerology, 15 reduces to 6 because it's 1 plus 5. And that is a number of home, coming back home to self. So we're coming back home to self, nurturing family and responsibility. There is a spiritual element to She Comes First. There's a spiritual element to it. And that's what we have to understand. So it's a much more gentler and more stabilizing energy compared to the disruptive, transformative 13. But 13 will disrupt you because it will make you have to really look at every part of your well-being. And so it's really quite nice. So whilst we look at 13 with the feminine cycles and lunar months and menstrual rhythm, it represents mystery, power, and hidden wisdom to our bodies. Whereas 15 is about balance and responsibility because it's linked to relationships, nurturing, and external harmony. So it's tied to family or societal expectations of women. So when I dig into what this means, it actually gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's a wonderful spiritual awakening for us in terms of where we are. So I think if I put it more simply, 13 is the number of transformation and 15 is the number of balance and responsibility. And it is about rebalancing our health, number one, the balance in the health field. Number two, responsibility. It's about taking back the responsibility for your health. So that you are responsible for what happens to you and not the other way around. I'm nearly at 45 minutes and I haven't played the second trail. So I need to stop for a second.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm telling you, sometimes, right, I'm thinking to myself, I've got a lot of time. And then as I get into the show, I'm like, I've run out of time. It's just absolutely mad. But, you know, I think for me, I hope this show has been useful. I hope you found it interesting, to say the least. At least you know what 15 stands for. You know what 13 stands for. But my time has been fast spent. And if you want to get any more information about Unfiltered on my birthday, 8th of November, then just go to... You can find it on Eventbrite. If you go into eventbrite.co.uk, you will find Unfiltered. Type in Unfiltered November 8 and you'll find it. And there are 2-for-1 tickets there. So if you really want to go onto that, then click on that. And that's going to be really nice, following on from Goldsmith's, because it's a celebration. She, which is our self-health, self-hormones, emotions. She celebrates. And it's the art of receiving, resting, and rising. And it's for women who overgive, but want to be able to give to self without feeling guilty. And that's a massive one. And also, I'm so excited that the wonderful Francesca Bleckner will be my guest speaker on the day and sharing about archetypes. And I've also been given another speaker. So I'm waiting to be able to speak with her and I'll be able to give you a bit more information on what she does. But as we come to a close of the show, we've honoured Black History Month. And it's really for me to say to you, make a promise to yourself not to be silent about your health, to learn from the women who came before you, and to invest in your own well-being. Like I said, you can measure cost in many ways. But sickness, disease, and dysfunction are very, very high prices to pay, and very dangerous prices for many things in terms of your mortality. When you measure that against the cost of investing into the knowledge and the tools that will actually take you in the opposite direction, unless, of course, you're ready to go home early. So I'll see a lot of you on the 11th of October at Goldsmiths College, and I'm looking forward to that. And you'll get the chance to experience my pelvic secrets for yourself. You can get the book, you can speak to me, you can find out more about the 60-day journey. She comes first. Of course, you can find out about Unfiltered, and also the fascia therapy, which is a massive way of releasing that connective tissue and getting rid of that tightness and flushing out the emotional trauma and history that we hold on to for so long. But you can get that information. You can go to @pelvicsecrets on Instagram. You can find me, Pelvic Floor Secrets and Jenny Russell, JENNI, on Facebook, and Jenny Russell on LinkedIn. But I just wanted to sort of end with this statement also to remind you that your pelvis, my pelvic floor, something you cannot see, may either reward or debilitate me. Your pelvis is your powerhouse, and all it asks you to do is to guard it, to love it, and to let it guide you into the wellness you deserve, because that's all it needs to do. That's all you need to do for your pelvic health. Guard it, love it, and let it guide you. But actually, sorry, You need to understand its role, value it well. That's the last line. Understand its role, value its well, confidently continent, be it your goal. But plus all the other things it does, stable. But once you understand it, value it, then you will guard it. We guard what we value. So understand it, value it, guard it, love it, let it guide you into the wellness you deserve. Think about it when you sit, pelvis, when you stand, the pelvis, when you move. It's the anchor. So let's get things right. Let's give it the love it deserves. And as we give it what it deserves, it will reward us in so many different ways. But if you want any more information, at Pelvic Secrets, as I said, or info@pelvicfloorsecrets, you can send me an email and I'm more than happy to answer your questions. So until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe, and stay well.